So now we've got it connected here. We did talk about preparing the ants. We started yesterday with how they cooked them for eating, but did you ever hear of them using them for dye?
No, I've never heard of that.
Of dyeing things with them.
No.
I had only heard about this, like dyeing baskets or...
Yeah. Well, like I told you, well, different probably sections of Nevada, well, all Paiutes have different way of fixing their things. Maybe some of them used it for dye and some of them used it to, eat.
Yeah. These were the great big ants like you see in the hills. They're not the ants
in the
valley.
Yeah, I know what kind you're talking about. These are the big ants. They're pretty big size ants.
Yeah.
And you don't see them around here unless you walk out in the desert, maybe out in the bushes. But where I've seen those are at the Pine Hills, and that's back up toward Table Mountain.
And they make
a
green mound.
Yes, a big mound. Sometimes they're about that high. They use
a foot and a half or so.
They make them out of
tiny rocks
and rocks, and then they used pine needles.
I saw some
made of pine needles, so piled up, real high.
And they sting like the thing if you get into them.
Yeah, they'll bite you.
Well, then they dug them up so that they came to the little white the eggs or the little cocoon or whatever it is.
Yeah.
They had the little. Well, then where did it go from there?
I don't know. They fix them and eat them. That's one of their food. But I really don't know. I haven't asked my mother, on how they fix them. I heard my grandmother talk about and say, that they were good to eat. But she never did say, how they are fixed. And I never asked her,
Roasted on the basket or...
I don't know how they were fixed.
So that's down on our birdie list, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. We'll have to ask her. She probably will know more about it.
Yeah. What about the worms that were at the bottom of the greasewood?
Well, my grandma said they roasted those. They got them when they got their firewood. So they got the wood and then they got their food at the same time. So what way she did it was she... put them in the fire, and then they
right in the ashes.
Yes, and then they hopped around, till they sort of popped like. And she just got them and dusted them off and popped them into her mouth, and she said that they had a real nice greasy taste to them. They were just white. They had no dirt on them or anything. Yeah. Just nice, quite a big worm.
You've seen them?
I've seen them, yes.
I haven't, and I sure would like to see them.
Yeah, they're just a great big white worm.
I've had them described to me as having dark heads.
It's got a little head on it. They're shaped like a caterpillar, only they're white, they're creamy or greasy looking things. Uh-huh. And that's the way she did it. I know she said, and I said, how do you fix them? Well, you couldn't gut them. They're not that big enough to gut. They just threw them in the fire, and she said they... put them in her mouth and she ate them. She said they were real good. She asked me to try it, but I would try it.
Oh, you wouldn't try it?
No.
Oh, I would. Once.
Well, the way they looked when you first got them out of the, moving around, and you would think of eating those things. But she said long ago they ate them, and she said they were good.
But you said you'd seen them just put on the top of the stove.
Mm-hmm. My grandmother, they had stoves in her stove in her house, and we used to go out and get this grease wood, and we used to pick these worms for her because she said they were good. So I saw her threw them on top of the stove while the stove was hot, and this worm jumped around, on the stove, and after it got browned, it sort of hot. She said that's when it was good, and she took it off and ate it. She said it was real good.
it kind of takes a little bit of nerve to try it the first time, but after all, we eat oysters. Maybe you don't, huh?
No, I don't like oysters.
You don't like oysters.
I tasted it, but I don't like them.
I like oysters, so I guess if I can eat oysters, I'll be able to eat them. Then did she tell you about the Mormon crickets, when they had those big invasions of Mormon crickets? Do you remember about those? Do you know what I mean, the Mormon crickets?
Yeah, those crickets.
Yeah, they're black.
Did
they eat those too, do you think?
Mormon crickets. I don't know. She's never mentioned. She's mentioned bugs, you know. Like I told you, the June, I thought was a June bug. That's the one that makes the noise.
Yeah,
she said they ate those. She told me about those.
Well, I wonder if Bertie would know about the Mormon crickets.
She probably wouldn't know what they were. She'd probably think you were talking about the June bugs. They have different Indian names for those.
I don't know.
Well, they call one the Fiag. I don't know what that is. The June bug, I think. Uh-huh. They call that.
I never found enough of those June bugs to do anything with particular. Maybe two or three in the garden or something.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the, you know, before they get their shell on them, they have a kind of a big body, and they're very often you find them eating sides out of potatoes and things like that, the June bug that I know.
Mm-hmm. Well, the ones I've known, I don't hear very many, not around here, but where you find all these things are in the mountains, they're in the hills.
Oh, are you talking about the cicadas, the katydids?
I don't think so.
Sometimes they call them seven-year locusts and so forth.
Yeah, you find these, and these are the ones that makes the noise. You know, they
yes.
real loud.
Yeah,
noise.
I know what you mean. Oh, we're talking about two different things, then.
Yeah.
It's good we followed this up.
Mm-hmm.
The ones I'm talking about are almost this, not quite this big, no, more like this, I guess. And the others are much smaller, aren't they,
mm-hmm.
than that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I know what you mean, and they're, yeah, they're the, we call them cicadas, and they, you find quite a lot of them up there, and you hear them.
Yeah, buzzing.
Yeah.
You listen, and you hear them, they mm-hmm. sound like they're over here, but
mm-hmm.
they're really someplace else.
Right.
And when you
exactly.
right to walk toward them, well, then they quit. They don't
yeah,
make any sound
right.
at all.
Okay, then we. What do you call those?
Well, they call them Pied in Indian, but I don't know
fine.
Whether that's the June bug or not.
Well, you see, all these
I'll
things
have ask Bertie.
Different names. Even the white people call them by different names.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no one standard common name. So this is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now I know what
well,
you
I
mean.
Well, I have to ask Bertie about them because she'd know more.
What I was speaking of, and what I've often wondered when I heard people say they ate June bugs, was, it's a hard-shelled beetle, a real hard-shelled beetle. It's kind of got stripes running along ways like
yeah,
this.
I've seen those.
And then it has two big kind of horns out
yeah.
like this. And they have real scratchy feet.
I've seen them.
Well, that's what I was talking about. And then when
no.
they go... But they hiss, but they don't kind of sing like those.
No, these
do.
Are, yeah, they just sing out.
Mm-hmm.
You could just hear them.
Okay.
And the most place I heard them is at Table Mountain. Or anywhere back there on the hills, you hear these on the bushes or on the trees. And then you go near them while their sound
yeah.
disappears. They're uh-huh. not there anymore. And then you try to look for them on a certain bush that you heard them, but you don't see them. They're hard to find.
I see. I know that's a real good thing. Let's make a list here. We've talked about ants. It might be kind of interesting to follow up the insects, because here I've settled something that I've wondered about a long time. Ants and greasewood. I wonder what those greasewood grubs are. I don't know what they turn out to be.
Oh, I've never known.
But you know, when they come in to make a beetle, I wonder what they.
I
what
don't
the beetle,
know what
you know, they
are.
Go into another
yeah,
stage.
Yeah, they do. Yes, they do.
Beetles and Mormon cricket. And the cicadas. and the army worms. Those are the ones that come, just great gobs of them. We haven't seen any for quite a little while, but they just cover the territory. Do you remember hearing about those?
No.
I've heard stories that seem to are very interesting on that, because it seems that these have to do with either the northern lights or a rainbow or something, some kind of colored lights. They come
from
there.
No, I've never heard about those.
On these cicadas, I'll use that term so that they don't get mixed up with other June bugs. Did you ever hear of them getting enough of those to store them and keep them in the wintertime?
No.
They just ate them.
They just ate them when they found them.
I'm real interested in storing things, because storage to me has always been a problem.
Well, pilots they got that.
Yeah.
They stored that all, you know, when they went out in the fall and they got it.
What about storage? And have you ever seen storage baskets? Whatever they have stored. Have you seen things that they have stored in baskets?
No. I know they kept things in the ground.
Yeah.
Like pine nuts and things. They kept them underground.
Made pits.
Uh-huh.
And lined the pits.
Yes.
With what, you know?
No, probably grass. Probably rye grass, big tall.
Right.
They call it Indian wahab. Indian hay.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, they call it Indian hay. The big long one. They used a lot of that. They always, you know, cut that up and used them to sit on and where, you know, when they sat down on the ground. They probably cut a lot of that and filled it probably inside of the pits that they stored their pine nuts or whatever they wanted to store.
How do they keep how do they control things like the rodents, the squirrels and the mice and so forth from getting into those pits?
I don't know. I haven't heard of anything. I mean, he mentioned.
I just wonder about this, because this is the same reaction I get from everybody, and I just wonder if they do.
But I
have
any know.
Like
my grandmother said, when they go to the hills,
mm-hmm.
when the pine cones are still green, well, they knock them down from the trees and they put them in big piles, and then mm-hmm. they cover them up with mm-hmm. sagebrush, you know, different places mm-hmm. all over the mountains, and for what the, you know, for it to be, well, they were waiting for it to open up,
mm-hmm.
so they put them in big piles besides the ones that they cooked. And she said they threw dirt on it. They say an Indian, you know, well, a prayer maybe, or they say, you know, something to stay away from it, and they throw dirt over the big mounds that they put with sagebrush, you know, they
uh-huh.
covered it with sagebrush. And she said that way nothing bothers it.
And you say
the chipmunks.
To go with it,
yeah,
huh?
The chipmunks and
great.
All these things that, you know, like pine nuts and things. Well, when they start opening, well, they'd probably all come and take them away.
Mm-hmm.
But she said that they did this when they put them in piles and threw dirt on top of them. You know, said a prayer
yeah.
and threw dirt yeah. all over like that, and then they left them there. And then when it was time for them to. Well, when they knew it opened, you know, they'd watch and see if they were starting to open.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would be late fall when they started to open.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'd go back all through it again, and then they'd take the brushes off and hit the cones and knock the pine nuts out of them.
Do you think that they stayed where the cones were in the wintertime quite a bit, or do they go back and forth, or?
What do you mean? Well, they stayed up in the mountains. They had a special place that they camped, and then, you mean when they put these pine nuts in different piles like this, or?
I was just wondering how much of the year that they stayed what parts of the country, or if it changed from year to year, when they came down to the marshy lands, like down toward, or if it changed from year to year, what months that they would stay where?
Well, the way my grandmother told me, she said in the spring. Well, they had horses too, and they took the horses out. To me, seems like he was out in that direction, toward Poker Brown. That would be after the snow melted. She said they would start to leave. When things started getting green, so that would be around March.
And they would go. Why would they go over?
Well, that's when they went to hunt their deer.
Oh.
And then they took their horses out the same time. I think it was when this thing started to grow, because she said that was when they would pick their green onions. A certain time they'd get those, and they'd stay there so long, and then they'd move on further. And I don't know how far back they would go, into that country to hunt deer and things. And they'd dry them, and then they'd bring them all back when they came back here. That was to take when they go to the Piney Hills.
Now, do you think that they would have gone from here over to Pyramid when the fish run started? Do you ever hear it? Remember her?
Yes, they did go there, she said, to get fish too. Okay. And then they dried them too, and then they brought them back with them. You know, the fish had dried fish. And in the meantime, they had dried jerky and things like that. But they went where the food was. To me, maybe they didn't have groundhogs right in this place here. Yeah. Well, there was a certain place you had to go get those, so they liked those. So they went up there where they could get the groundhogs, and they could eat their fill, seems like to me, because you couldn't carry groundhogs anywhere, because if you killed one, it'd spoil real.
Yeah.
They couldn't, I don't know if they ever, I never heard of them drying it or anything, like they do the rabbit.
Yeah. I don't think
they dry that.
Enough at a time to make it worthwhile.
But then they liked that, so that's where they went to, where they found their food, like in the books it said they followed. But wherever there was food that they went, and that's the way it sounds to me when my grandmother told me. So I think they spent different times at different places, and then they always came back in here to spend the winter.
This is what I was trying to get at, was how did they bring their pine nuts to the low country, or did they go to the high country and where they had bigger wood? Now, see, in the high country, you would have, your nuts would be there, and you'd have a lot bigger supply of wood, but you'd also have more snow, and possibly not as good material to make shelters out of. So now, with these two things balancing each other, I was wondering.
No, from what my grandmother told me, that was, well, very few of them stayed. She told me one time that they stayed back in the Piney Hills. That's up toward, they called Lousy Water. That's on the same mountain as the range as Table Mountain is on. And she said they stayed in a cave the winter. They had horses, and their horses stayed right inside the cave with them. But she said, but they always left when it started to snow. When the first snow started to come, everybody started to leave. Yeah. They carried their pine. She said they made trips after trips to bring their pine nuts, on horses, back up into here where they were going to camp for the winter.
They
usually came down in here.
Ah.
But then sometimes they stayed up there in the mountains, like she said, and they stayed in a cave back there, and the horses stayed right with them. She said it was a kind of a large cave, and it was way high up on that mountain. And we tried to look for this cave one time, but we couldn't find it. It's where the rocks are almost on the top. It's where they stayed. They had to get water quite far, she said. So I don't think they really stayed up there, because it was colder.
Yeah.
And then up in here, I don't think it was that cold. She never said it was that cold.
When they were carrying these things, if they didn't have their horses, and you try to visualize those people bringing, hauling those pine nuts, that's a joke speak, isn't it? And still watering?
Yeah.
But that's where we are from here, isn't it? Is that?
Mm-hmm.
About, you know, that's all. Well, then they would have been north of that, huh?
Yes, it's right about back up in here because Muckleberry Canyon is right there.
Oh, it was in this first range here that they got their pine nuts?
No, it's another range further back.
Over. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, well, that's what I thought.
This is the mountain that they crossed. And then there's still yet, there's another flat on the other side.
Yeah, that's...
She said they used to walk that, you know.
Sure.
Back and forth.
So before they had their...
They carried them on their backs.
Yes.
They carried them on their... Everything they carried on their backs. Right. And they rested and they carried the pine nuts.
Imagine going and getting, hauling
they
all the
walk. And then they carried all this stuff. And they made several trips. They didn't just go on one day. It took them days. She said the place they'd stop off at, there's a place back there called Iron Mountain. That's where they spent the night. And the next day they would go on and then they'd reach the Pine Hills. So that was their stopping off place. And Muckleberry Canyon was another place that they stayed. When they left here, that was where they camped the night. And the next day they'd reach Iron Mountain and camp there. And the next day they'd reach the Pine Hills. And she said they walked.
Who would have done the carrying?
The men and the women. I think they both did. They helped each other. But the men, I think, were the ones... Once the women got there, they stayed there. It was the men that went back again for another, you know, another load of things that they had with them.
You think that while they were still gathering, then they would bring part of them down instead of just spending their time gathering and then go for them when they needed them, huh?
No, I think when they finished harvesting their pine nuts, like you say, I think they started bringing them back up into here again and going back and then bringing them all back here. Like, you know, the whole family would say, well, I don't think they'd want to spend the winter there.
Yeah.
So they came down here.
Now, when you think of what they had to carry them in, the nuts, apparently they were just those, you know what I call the burden baskets, the conical burden baskets.
Yeah.
Well, that's, of course, just about as much as a person could carry.
Oh, yeah.
But just think of how many trips for all the...
Then they had to carry their water.
Yes. And if the women that had little kids went along,
they had to carry their babies. But then, like I told you, in the family, everybody helped.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they all helped one another.
Yeah. Maybe they would leave children with some of the old people down.
They probably, did, and then they all went back and got the rest of the pine nuts they had stored up there and then brought them all back here again. But I know when we went pine-nutting, when I went with my two grandmothers up there, well, we carried everything on our backs, and we all helped. The kids carried things, and we carried things on our backs.
From where did you carry?
From the foot of the Table Mountain, and we had to go up through the canyon to the top, and they had a camping area halfway up the mountains, and we had to go through the steep canyons and climb up the side of the mountain, and you know, they had there's regular trails on that mountain, and we had to climb and carry everything. We had to carry our bedrolls on our backs and pots and pans and just like a regular pack mule. We used to load everything on my grandmother, put everything on her back and tied the things on it, you know. And here she'd be with this great big load on her back, and she went up the hills and she'd put her moccasins on just for that, you know, to travel up in there.
Yeah.
She did away with her white man's shoes when she went to the hills.
Yeah.
She wore her moccasins.
Is that for a special reason that she
no,
can't go back
she,
to?
Maybe it was. She never told us. But my other grandmother and her, they always wore their moccasins. Before we were going to go to the Pine Hills, they sewed an extra sole on their shoes. They had two layers of buckskin at the bottom of their shoes. They always carried an extra piece of buckskin when they went to the hills because they wore them out so fast.
Uh-huh.
And then when that wore off, well, they sewed another sole on. And that's what my grandmother used to do. And she was a little old lady. She was just, kind of, she really was something. She'd make us laugh, and we'd pile things on her. We'd call her the Patty, and she'd laugh.
That was her, I mean, what was her name?
Mary Dave.
That was Mary Dave, because I want that for this. And then the other grandmother's name, you said you had
her name was a lot, her name was, I forgot her name.
Well, if you remember, if I just say it after a while. Now, when you told me yesterday, and I always get
Oh, her name was Laura, that's right, Laura Bliss. That was my grandmother's sister.
Laura Bliss, and... Are you getting sleepy, honey? Well, let me... I'll say that. Then, it was the generation before Laura and, Mary, where... How many women did you say were... He had four wives?
Mm-hmm. Four wives.
Yeah. There must have been an awful lot of children in that.
There was. She had quite a few brothers, and and then she had quite a few sisters, and she'd tell about, well, she used to tell me stories about when they went out to the, when they went out different places, like I was telling you, you know, how that when they rode their horses, and how they rode them, and what they did with their horses, and, well, she'd tell me different things like this, because the whole family went out, you know, on these trips that they took.
But Laura and Mary and many others were children of this man. What was his name?
Her father.
Her father's name. I don't remember right now.
My mother knows, though.
Yeah.
I think they called him Captain Dave.
The big Captain Dave, the famous Captain Dave?
No, I think so. His name was, well, it was a Dave. See, they never did away with their Latin names. They always went by Dave.
Captain Dave Numara? Was he the one that she
said? No, I don't think so. It's another Dave.
Captain Dave, huh? Oh, we'll check with your...
Yeah, you'll have to ask my mother more about that, because I don't really know, but... He must have been a Dave, because their names are Dave, and then they never went by their husband's name, you know, whoever they lived with, like my grandmother. She never...
Changed.
No, she always went by Dave, and my mother's the same.
Uh-huh.
She never used her husband's name.
He was... Do you happen to know whether he was the one that had the big medal? Well, maybe a couple of Captain Daves. That would be real interesting to find out. Let's put that down on the list to ask your mother. She would... Your mother would surely remember this Captain Dave, because it would be her grandfather then, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I've heard of him, but I just can't think. I know it was a Dave, and I just can't think of what his name was.
Let's see, what were we talking about, honey? Oh, about the families going out in big groups. Does your mother know how many aunts? These all would be aunts and uncles of hers, wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Would she remember how many?
I think so. Yes, she would. Maybe some she would remember, because she was small too at the time.
Was she one of the younger ones or older?
Older ones.
She was one of the older ones, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's really an interesting situation. Did your mother ever live in one of those Indian houses?
I don't think so. I don't think so. But my mother lived, she remembers living all over the town without any, you know, one place that they stay like we do now. They just lived all around the town. Well, she went where her parents lived, her mother, and they never had one place because they usually camped wherever they felt like it. But when the town started growing, well, the white people didn't like it, you know, because these Indians would be camped right in town, right around town. So she just remembers when she was living, you know, different places, part of the town. She'd say, well, we used to live here, you know, and we stayed here and there. But then they did finally give us a place to settle down.
How much of that moving was caused by there being a death in that area? Do you know?
What do you mean?
You know how they so often burn the houses or did something to... And I think probably in the old days they really went off and left a whole camp at times in the real old days.
They probably did, yes. But, yeah, they burnt the house down or burnt everything that the person had. Mm-hmm. They never kept anything.
Have you ever analyzed why or gone into thinking about this whole thing real deeply? The burning of the... of their possessions and moving and all that sort of thing.
Well, yeah, I thought about some of this too. Well, the Indian people believed that the spirits would come back.
Yeah.
And,
that those things belong?
Yeah,
those
they belong.
Objects belong to that person whether he was dead or alive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they destroyed them, threw them away. They burned them. They just they burned everything. And or they buried the things with them because they believed that they would... Their spirits would come back if they left anything behind that belonged to them. And then they did see visions, you know, of people coming back. And that's how come they did that. I believe in it. Maybe it's because I was taught when I was small that these things happen. Then you do see things sometimes to make you believe all the more.
Yeah.
But,
Nobody knows for sure, so why not?
Yeah, but maybe we wouldn't believe in any of these things if we weren't taught these things from the beginning. If we, you know, if our parents didn't tell us about, well, you know, about something like this ghost gonna, you know, come back, or you will see your aunt or something, they believe they could come and do you harm. I mean, you can get sick. Well, if you grieve too much for anybody, you would get sick. But then to see your aunt or your mother or your father or somebody come back, well, it would make you sick. I mean, you'd get so sick in your mind, probably it would kill you. Well, the Indian people believed something like this. But then if we weren't taught that from the beginning, well, we wouldn't believe in it either. Like the white man. The white man don't teach their children, well, you do this and or something like this, it'll come back and it'll hurt you now. You do this. Way the Indians do, we were taught all these things from the beginning when we were small to believe in it. Maybe that's why the Indian people believe in things like this so strongly that, you know, I mean, that's what I think.
I think so too.
Because if a white, you don't hear a white man telling his kid, you know, to believe in something like this. They think it was crazy. They don't believe in it, but still yet I read a story by this man that wrote about ghosts, how he believed in ghosts, his haunts. I forgot his name, but I read a book about him reading about he believes in ghosts. Well, I believe in it. Well, I saw things that made me believe in it. Yes.
I'm perfectly open to any thing. I just don't really know what I believe, so I never am in any way critical of what people believe.
Yes.
Because I just really don't have very strong beliefs about... I've never been taught.
Well, like you, like I told you, you know, nobody didn't teach you that well here. If your mother dies, don't keep this or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, now when I see it the white man's way, well, you keep things to remember a person by, you know, or something like this.
It's just
reversing. I would do that now because, well, I believe the old Indian way that I've been taught and told. But I still keep something that belonged maybe to my mother if she passed away or my grandmother.
Uh-huh. The old people, I don't think would have.
They don't. They destroyed everything. Yeah. I know my mother has been taught that. So when her daughter died and her kids, she did away with everything. And then later on, she regretted what she did.
Oh, did she regret it, huh? I wonder why she regretted it.
Well, she wanted to keep something.
Then she felt like, after a while, then she felt like she wished she had something back that had belonged. Do you happen to know whether there is a point of time? Now, suppose, let us say, that a person has some nice things, and then they lose their mind and don't even know what's there. And just possibly they're leaving them around and forgetting them. Would it be wrong to give those things to somebody else that they knew would take care of them? Like maybe, let's say a rabbit skin blanket or something of the kind. Would they be wrong in your way of thinking to either give that to somebody or sell it to somebody before they died, before the owner died? But, see, I mean, he wouldn't know whether he had it or not.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Or
she wouldn't have known whether it was around. But in other words...
Well, I would have.
You would.
I would have gave it to somebody.
Is that the training that you're... Your Taibo training, or was it the...
That would be my white man training.
Yeah.
My white man's way of thinking.
Yeah.
But if this person had died, well, if he died, it would be different. You know, then you could give it away. But if he was still living, if it belonged to him, they probably wouldn't see it that way.
They wouldn't.
Because it belonged to this person.
I've never
heard of a crazy Indian.
Not a crazy one, but you know, sometimes they get so old that they just don't know what's going on. You know,
that way. I thought you meant kind of.
Oh no, off. Not off. Not crazy. I meant just so old that you know, the kind that are just sitting there that don't know what's going on.
Oh, well.
Almost dead.
Yeah.
Almost dead, but not...
Well, maybe they... I don't know. They probably just kept them with them until, the person died. I mean, that's what I think, because I don't think they'd give that... If she was still alive, they'd give that person things away.
Right.
They'd
Absolutely.
Probably keep them, you know, with that person until...
So in other words, it would have...
She'd have to die first.
But then they probably would...
Then they bury some things with them. They don't give it away, like I said. They burn everything.
Right.
But then now, we don't do that. The white man, you know, when you go by the white man's way, well, I don't think a lot of people do that now. But they still, a lot of Indians, you know, destroy everything.
They still destroy a lot.
They do.
Yeah.
Different tribes have different way of doing it. The Paiutes, well, they burn everything. And they bury their things with them. The things that they liked the most, like, well, whatever they had, you know, used a lot.
Uh-huh.
They bury those things right with them in the grave.
Did you ever see some of the things that they used to discourage the ghosts from coming back?
Oh, yes. We have that problem right at home in our house.
You do?
We think it's a white man ghost. Because we bought the house, you know.
Oh.
And my mother's having problems in the little room that she sleeps in from my living room there. And somebody comes around and hits her every once in a while on her back.
Really?
While she's asleep, and it's late at night, and she knows we're all in bed at that time. So... We've been using sagebrush.
Yeah.
And there are some things that we can't get.
What?
You'd like this, the silver stuff they use.
I have some.
We can't get that. It's hard to get.
I know it's hard to get, but I managed to get some. Would you like some?
Yes, that's what we use. That's one of the, I forgot what you call it in Indian. I don't know the white man's name for it. It
I
must
don't.
Be some kind of a rock that they use.
Yeah.
It's the silver stuff. They
I
use that. That's one of the things that they use.
Uh-huh.
Because they believe that the spirits don't like anything that's shiny.
Shiny. Okay.
And they don't like animals, the sound of animals.
They don't like
cats,
the sound of...
Uh-huh, and dogs.
Well,
and
maybe
they
if they
like
kept the dog, if they kept the dog in the room, that
mm-hmm.
would help to...
Mm-hmm. It'd scare the spirits away.
Uh-huh.
And then, a white man now is a horseshoe, you know.
Yeah.
They keep that.
Yeah.
Old Indians now, they have the horseshoe they put in their rooms.
Uh-huh.
And they don't like light, so sometimes they keep a light on all night because they don't like light, they say.
Yeah.
So that's...
How do they use this shiny stuff? Do they blow it around? Or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes they put it on their foreheads.
Uh-huh.
They, you know...
Have it on their foreheads.
Or they burned... sagebrush, you know, to make the smoke. They say they don't like the smell of smoke. Now, I don't know how ghosts could smell when there's nobody there. I mean, you know, I think about a lot of these things, too, you know, when you think about it all, but then when you see something, well, then you have another thought about it. So, well, why believe in something like that? White men don't believe it.
You are analyzing what
I do.
What
I do
going.
A lot of this, you know, on my own, and then I'd ask them, some of my friends, well, what do you think about this? This is what I think about. But I tell them before they even get a chance to analyze it themselves.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't know. We start talking about different things like this too, and then I tell them what I think.
Does that change their opinion?
Yes. They don't say they don't get a chance. Then they agree with. They seem to all agree with me. You know, when I get off on a subject and I start talking about this certain thing, like the ghost. You know,
uh-huh.
if we weren't taught that, we wouldn't believe in that. Then they say, yeah, that's right. We wouldn't believe in these things. You know,
uh-huh.
I'd change it for them before they even get to say anything. I don't know, they seem to go along with whatever I say.
I wonder if that isn't an Indian characteristic to rather be convinced without analyzing too much. And I wonder if the younger people aren't analyzing things more. Do you know whether this is, whether they, in other words, they are taught by the... their old people would tell them, and it would never occur to them to question it.
See what you mean. Well, now my daughter, she when you tell her something, she don't believe in it. She's all, grandma would tell her something, you know,
uh-huh.
and she wouldn't believe. Oh, that's what they did a long time ago. She'd say, we don't do that now.
Uh-huh.
We can't do that. She never thought, well, why would we do that, she'd say.
Uh-huh. So she's studying analyzing.
Yes, she is. Uh-huh. She's 16.
Uh-huh.
And she's interested in some of these. Well, I talk a lot, you know, about Indian things and everything like that. And she's like me in a way. But she questions things like I do.
Uh-huh.
I think, well, why?
Uh-huh.
You know? Like I think about, like the rabbit, like for instance, I was telling you, all that soft part.
Yeah.
Well, I thought, well, they ate that, heck, because they didn't have any bones in it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I thought, well, why did they do that?
Well, no,
here,
they wouldn't say
thought.
Why, would they?
No, they wouldn't say why. They just go ahead and, that's
they,
the part you ate, and that's what you ate.
No
question what, you know.
Uh-huh.
You just, but now I think the kids are. Well, my daughter is anyway. I don't know any other kids that...
Well, you're doing it yourself a lot.
Yeah, teaching the kids or anything. I've never heard that on the... Well, right here at the colony. I don't think any mother tells their kids. Maybe some things they tell, well, Indian people don't do this, you know, or that, or something. But I try to make it a point to my kids. I try to teach them everything that I know. Because I learned it from my grandmother and my mother. And I try to tell my children a lot of this. And even the language, try to teach them. Because now when you try to tell them to pronounce a word, and they pronounce it all wrong. Mm-hmm. It's not even pronounced right.
Mm-hmm.
They try to pronounce it. Then they laugh about it and they think it's funny, you know, or how'd you say that again, you know? And my mother would have a hard time telling them, and she'd tell them, oh, she'd say, you don't know how to talk Indian. What kind of Indians are you anyway? She'd tell them. And we'd laugh.
Someday I'll tell you a real funny joke on me if I'm trying to talk Indian, but I won't put it on the recorder because I put it on the recorder before. It's a real funny story. That's why I quit trying to talk Paiute.
A lot of white people, though, do, you know, say words and they pronounce them just right. Mm-hmm. I mean, they sound pretty good.
Some, but not... But to learn the language is really something.
It is. It's even hard to Indians, I think, nowadays.
Well, then, to go back, we seem to... As long as we came out here to the cemetery today, we seem to be kind of on this particular subject. What other interesting and different ways of looking at things can you think of in regard to the way they feel about death? You had said yesterday that something that was very interesting, this dusty trail, that it was because they were walking that made the dusty trail dusty all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because they're walking across the dusty trail or because they're coming back to earth and then walking back?
No. That's when you die, my grandmother said. You're walking back. You're
walking to the
place, to where, to the happy hunting grounds, like the white man put it.
Yeah.
They're walking back. They're walking. That's why she said the trail, it's always dusty because they're dying every day and that trail is being used
all
the
time.
And that's why the dust is like it is. But it's the white man's Milky Way.
Yes.
But to us it's our...
The dusty trail.
Yes.
Dusty trail. They used to call it the ghost trail.
Uh-huh,
I hadn't heard the word ghost trail. I'd heard the word dusty trail.
The dusty trail.
Well, apparently... They feel, too, that people don't leave for the dusty trail right away. The spirits don't for a while. I mean, do they stay around for a while?
Uh-huh. That's what we believe, that they're here for a while.
Before they go.
Uh-huh, before they go, because the person, like my father died.
Uh-huh.
Well... I don't know how long they stay around because they have things that my mother said belong to him and you have to burn this, you have to get rid of it. He stays around watching for these things that he's left behind.
Uh-huh.
So that's why he comes back, his spirit comes back. That's why you have to get rid of everything that's holding him here on earth. And you have to get rid of all these things before he can go, well, in peace, I guess you'd say. He'd know he didn't leave anything behind. Or anything.
Oh, now, it's always bothered me that they would be really afraid, seem to be afraid, of the spirit or ghost of somebody that they had been very fond of. This is, even their husbands, isn't that right sometimes, or their children, or their mothers, that they... are almost afraid of that ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I haven't quite understood why they would be afraid of the ghost of somebody that they had loved.
Well, they can. They believe that this person can take them back with them. See,
can
they
take
can
them?
Take you.
I
they
see.
Can take your mind. They can. You can fall down, and then they can take you. They
you can
take you away with them.
You can really. By falling, I mean falling down. Is a sign that they're trying to get you.
Yeah, they're trying to get you. And if you see visions of them and things like this, it's that, and well, it seems like you think about it so much that you would if you fell, maybe had a stroke or a heart attack. I mean, to my way of thinking now. But in those days, well, they believed, you know, that if they did these things, you know, well, they thought about so much, it was on their mind so much, I think, that they thought, well, then they saw visions, and the Indians would say, well, there, he's trying to take you back with them. That's what mother says.
That's often why they got the Indian doctors to help them, too.
To help them. Then the Indian doctors came and worked on him and say, well, he was trying to take you because you got this, or you've got some kind of, something that's got, you have that he has, or, you know, something like that.
He
belongs
to
him. He wants, or he wants you, too. He wants you because you were close to him, like you say. And that's why, you know, the Indian people believe that. But then to me, like I say, well, you think about it so much, you know, because this person died, you grieve for him, and all the time, and you would fall, maybe got dizzy and fell and had a heart attack, and then the well, your other relative would believe, well, he came and got him because, you know, he cared for him so much or her so much that he came back after him. But I wouldn't think that now. I mean, you know, when I think about these things, it'd probably be because he thought about them so much.
Yeah.
He grieved so much, he just died.
Do you know how they were, how the doctors were able to break this chain, or the, you know what I mean? To?
Oh, yeah, they had a... they dreamed in things, well, like a lot of people, I hear them say they hypnotize, sort of get in a they get a trance.
Yeah.
And then there's this, well, somebody tells them to do a certain thing. The Indian doctor
tells
some somebody from above somewhere tells this Indian doctor, you know, how to get rid of it. What to do. And then he does what this person tells.
And then the patient will do what?
Yeah, he says for maybe 5 days or something like this. You do this for 5 days, and that would, then he wouldn't come
that
anymore.
Would break.
Yeah, it would break it.
I heard about a person that they called a repeater or an interpreter the other day, which I hadn't heard about before.
Oh, yeah.
What is their... duty in this? Is the doctor in a trance?
The doctor gets into a trance, and this repeater, as you say, is a man that watches him and takes care of him when he goes into a trance. He tells him what to do to him when something, if I should fall, he says, you straighten me out and lay me straight, and you light so many cigarettes or smoke or, you know, for me, well, when I wake up, or he tells him what to do and repeats everything he says. He sits, and the Indian doctor talks, and he dances around so many times, and he sits, and the man, Wizzy is.
Wizzy's.
Yes.
Is Wizzy Jimmy's repeater?
Mm-hmm.
I know she was, I've heard her called his helper. But I haven't kind of, no, that was kind of private for them, you know, and she was, what do you want, darling? We'll stop this, and then you can
talk. Wizzy went, when he was real sick, in an Indian way.
Yeah.
He went to Wizzy's husband when he was a year and a half, and he made him well. So that's why I believe in this Indian
doctor.
What
was wrong with him?
Well, he fell in a place where a ghost, you know, stayed or fell before, or it's a place, I just don't know how to tell you.
Did the child literally fall down?
He fell down in this place where this, Sa'abu was, where this ghost was, or happened to be. I don't know whether it lived there. It's just a bad place to fall, and that was all. And that's what he told him. He fell in a place like this, and that's why it sort of took his mind. I mean, fell backwards in this place on the ground. See, he hit the ground. You're never supposed to hit the ground.
That's right.
You're never supposed to hit the ground. And he hit the ground, and he hurt his head. And when he woke up in the morning, he couldn't get up. He kept on falling back. And so I took him to the doctor right away the next morning because he couldn't walk. Uh-huh. And so the doctor told me that, well, you have to take your boy to San Francisco. He's got a cold in his equilibrium. It's off, he said. His balance is off. He couldn't walk. And so, well, right now my mother said, well, that something else is wrong with him. She said it must be, you know, something like that in the Indian way. So right now, well, we loaded him up and we took him off to Fallon, and we saw Wizzy and asked her. See, you can't go directly to the Indian man. It's like a white man's doctor. You have to make an appointment.
The nurse,
to see somebody on the outside first. He's supposed to ask the doctor, and the doctor's supposed to say when.
Right.
And then you have to, you know, pay them, too. Yeah. And then they tell you what time. They usually start in the evening time, and then it goes on up to midnight. And so he had Indian doctoring, and the next day, well, my boy was walking straight up. And here the doctor told me I had to take him to San Francisco for brain surgery or something.
Oh, gracious.
Yes. Now, see, what would that have done? He would have killed him.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because we believe in it. That's why my boy got well.
Yeah.
Maybe we left him home a long time, he probably would have got worse. But now he's 16 years old.
And he's all right. Did they have to doctor him more than the one night?
No, they just doctored him two nights, I think it was.
One night.
And then we had to, you know, do what the Indian doctor said for that many days. He wasn't supposed to fall for 5 days or touch the ground or fall in any way. Then he used the sagebrush on him. That was the thing that we used on him.
Just waving it, dipped in water?
No, not dipped in water. It was used from his head down to your...
Kind of
down to your clear, down to your feet, and up around to your, you know, each side, you know, down to the ground.
You mean you patted the whole body on one side?
Yeah, with praying, you have to pray. So my mother did that. She prayed and she, you know, went like this with a sagebrush. She's kind of rubbing down like this, just patting it all around. She did that for 5 days. And then he said you have to put a dirt around in a circle around him. I think it was every morning. Or he was supposed to sleep in a circle like that.
A circle of dirt.
Because that's what they believe in.
Yeah.
You know, ashes is another thing they don't like. See? That breaks it.
The ashes, they don't...
Fine ashes.
That the this bad
evil
thing.
Spirits, don't like ashes.
Yeah.
See, it makes a dust. It's just like smoke.
Yeah.
Or the smell. They said smoke or smell of ashes. Or... Oh, there's so much to it.
Right,
that
really,
just,
there is. There
yeah,
is so
I.
Much.
These are the things that I just heard. You know that. Well, I believe in it all, but then I've been. You know, told these things, but you'd have to talk to somebody into it more. I mean, that knows more about
more
it.
More at depth.
Yes, because these are the things that I just believe in and that I've been told.
Did he lay down beside your boy to doctor him? Or
just kneeled beside him while he laid, you know.
He was on the ground.
On the ground.
On the ground.
He laid on the ground.
Were you inside or outside?
Inside.
Yeah, on the floor, then,
on
you mean.
On the floor,
A little pad or something?
Yeah, blanket down. And he nailed...
Nailed down there.
Mm-hmm. And worked on it.
I've heard this thing about hitting the ground.
Yeah, you're not supposed to hit the ground.
I've heard Wizzy say something about hitting the ground, but I thought that mostly that was about falling.
She did.
You're not supposed to fall. And that's probably one of the reasons they carry the big sticks, isn't it? So that they will help to balance themselves. The old ladies would carry a stick, so like your mother did.
And then they use it to hit things with.
Yeah,
like
sure,
I told
protection.
You.
Yeah.
That was used for everything, I guess, really.
Yeah.
Get the snakes away and hit, kill something if they had to.
And scare things out from under the bushes.
Yeah, that's what my grandma used it for. she walk along, she'd hit along, you know, and go through, because a rattlesnake is sure to make a sound.
Sure, mourner.
Yeah, that's why they used it.
But the hitting the ground, I wonder.
Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to fall. And if you do, if you know anything about it, you're supposed to say a prayer. And not everybody knows to say a prayer when they fall.
So are they supposed to give the ground anything if they fall on it ever?
No.
Yeah, that isn't part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think what Lizzie told me about hitting the ground.
Huh. It's bad to hit the ground, did she say?
Yeah. I mean, my impression was that there was something very bad about hitting the ground, and I hadn't related it to...
Yeah, well,
to, well, is it because the ground is a... a sacred thing, or do you know why particularly about hitting the ground?
Huh. What, the earth is our mother. I mean, everybody knows.
I mean, if it was, is it like hitting your mother, do you suppose?
No, I don't think so.
It isn't quite like that.
It was bad to hit the ground.
You know, all of these things, I believe, have a reason for starting. And sometimes you don't know why they got started.